Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Get a head start on 2025 with CNBC's Big January, the hottest tech event, CES, from Las Vegas. The data, the numbers, the jobs report, and meet the future of biotech and pharma at JPM Healthcare. Check out the Amex Golf Tournament from California, Inauguration Day, and the meeting of world leaders in Davos. Plus, the first Fed decision of the year. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Everybody's just got to realize what's at stake and just understand that it's one and done. So there's no room for error, no mistakes. You got to go out there and have a complete game. And the best way to practice that is to start this week.
It's going to be a bloodbath, man. Two division teams. I'm sure one want to keep us out of the playoffs, and we're fighting for our playoff lives. So it's going to be fireworks.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Thank you for finding us on this Football Friday. Hopefully it's not the penultimate one of the season, which is a fancy way of saying second to last, because we do have a game next week. We don't know when. If the Steelers win, it'll probably be 4:30 Saturday against the Houston Texans down in the Lone Star State. If they lose, then who knows when they'll schedule that Steelers-Ravens round three matchup. Many of you have called in today to say that you are spooked by that. You don't want to see the Ravens again. Kabali had the audacity to say he sees no difference between playing the Ravens or the Texans
in the playoffs. One team has the possible back-to-back MVP award winner, although I don't think that's going to happen. One team beat you by 17 the last time they saw you. One team is only in the playoffs by virtue of the fact that they're in the AFC South, the worst division in football. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. Doesn't look like apples to apples to me. When I'm doing the old
scales of Lady... What would you say the fruit here is?
When I'm doing the old scales of Lady Justice here, it seems like one's pretty lopsided. What's the fruit?
Is it apples to cantaloupes or something like that, maybe?
Like apples to pomegranates. You ever had a pomegranate? Not very good.
No, I like pomegranate-flavored things, but I've never actually had the fruit itself.
I knew you were going to say that. I think that's how most people are. The fruit itself is a real pain in the ass to eat.
Dom, true or false? Intern Dom, by the way, in here today for Donnie Football. He's had some explosive takes, like saying he would rest guys against the Bengals tomorrow because the game is meaningless.
True.
He also said he would give Mike Tomlin an A for his season.
True.
If the Steelers beat the Bengals tomorrow. True or false? We'll keep with that theme. The Steelers are a Super Bowl contender if they beat the Bengals tomorrow night.
False.
So they have this great coach.
A job this year.
The
not
game
a Super Bowl
doesn't
contender.
Matter. But if they win, they're still not a Super Bowl contender. Why?
Just because I don't think they are one. I think regardless of what happens on Saturday, I'd still feel the same way. Just because I don't trust the quarterback. I don't trust the weapons or lack thereof around him. I don't trust George Pickens, and I don't trust the defense. So no matter what happens on Saturday.
So if they won the game 42-0, you'd say, yep, this team is still, their fate is sealed here in the playoffs.
Yeah, probably.
No, you wouldn't.
Yes, I would, because no matter what happens against Cincinnati, I still wouldn't pick them to beat the Bills.
You just called Joe Burrow earlier in the show one of the four best quarterbacks in the NFL, and if they completely shut him down, it would just do nothing for you?
Yeah, I mean, they beat Justin Herbert earlier this year, kind of. But
you
I still
didn't
think
say that Justin Herbert is a top four quarterback. Justin Herbert's never won a playoff game. Burrow's been to a Super Bowl and lost to Mahomes in another AFC championship game. What are you doing here?
They beat Joe Burrow earlier in the season, and I still think he's the best quarterback in football, and I still feel the same way about the Steelers. So what's the difference?
Because the Bengals weren't on a hot stretch, on a torrid run then, and this game for them is a playoff game. This is for them by... Queen said for the Steelers, it's one and done. He's lying. It's not. They'll live to fight another day. The sun will come up for them if they lose. The sun might not even come up for the Bengals if they win. They need Denver to blow it against the Chiefs. But for the game Saturday night, it is a playoff game.
I think this is just a moot point anyway. They're not going to beat the Bengals even if you play Russ or don't play Russ, which they will play him.
Okay.
Silence.
So they're such a bad team now that they stand no chance against the Bengals in this game.
I'm not saying they're a bad team. I'm saying that I think the Bengals are a really good team right now.
But you, 2 seconds ago, Chris, you just gave them no credit for beating them earlier in the season. My head is spinning from the rhetoric that's coming from the other side of the glass right now.
The young man is in what is known colloquially as the Pony Blender, where Pony interrogates him with a rapid fire series of questions, and only the craftiest operators can get out alive.
And you can be the slippery, I'm not going to say the other word, but you can be slippery enough where you get yourself
Wizard?
Out of that. No, I'm not saying that. I'm not stealing other people's radio terminology. What you can't have it both ways. If you are one of these people out there who believes that the Bengals are the team that no one wants to play, and no one is playing better than Joe Burrow right now, and the Bengals are playing a de facto playoff game. If you beat him in that setting, your opinion of the Steelers has to go up. Now,
doesn't it necessarily have to get to Super Bowl contender.
And that's why I asked that question. But to say that this game would prove or tell you nothing about the team is farcical. Because Cincinnati is treating this game like it is the wild card round of the playoffs.
Because it is for them.
And all I've heard, and I don't disagree with this, is that Burrow is basically a machine in the playoffs. The only reason why he didn't go to back-to-back Super Bowls is because he ran into Patrick Mahomes. And he wasn't there last year because he got hurt. And he's not really there yet this season because his defense has been so bad. If you actually stymie him and slow him down, then all the complaints and bitching and moaning we've done about their defense in the last 3 weeks goes out the window. I think if Higgins plays...
Define stymie, though, with them. Like, they hold him to 17 points, something like that.
Yeah, like, I'm saying... Okay, so it's not... Let's say it's not quite as... they don't completely embarrass him like they did when they went to Cincinnati and
keeping
won in the
him
opener
to like
a couple...
20- Keeping him to like 24 points is honestly a pretty good job.
He's gone 8 straight games of at least 250 yards and 3 touchdowns. If he's under 250 and he only throws, say, 1 touchdown in the game, then that to me will have done something that for the last second half of the season, no one else in the NFL has done. And it will be, the difference is when they did it to Lamar Jackson, it was, well, that's just how Lamar plays against the Steelers. They don't have Joe Burrow number the way that they do Lamar. So if they do that, it would be like a Herculean effort to...
I don't think they're going to... I almost can't entertain that as a thought because I just don't think there's a chance it happens. I guess that's the other problem here. It's very hard for me to conceptualize what you're talking about and like seriously formulate an opinion because I do not think that's going to happen. I think Burrow's going to pass it all over them.
And so the $130 million defense with the guy who right now is... no worse than the second leading candidate to win Defensive Player of the Year with everybody healthy and with extra time to get up for this game. They're 3-0 this year with extra rest.
Mm-hmm.
They're just going to get their lunch handed to them and they're going to get smashed in the face and punched in the face and kicked in the balls the entire night for 3 hours.
I think Burrow's going to have himself a very nice game. Yes.
Okay, so if your opinion of Burrow is that high...
Mm-hmm.
And your opinion of the Steelers' defense is that low, then when I say if they actually do what you would consider to be the impossible and shut him down, would that not completely change the way you view them going into the playoffs?
It would be a major feather in their cap. But here's the problem for how I'd view them. He's more like Stroud, obviously, than he is Jackson, but he's not at all like Jackson. It would make me feel better that they're probably almost definitely going to beat the Texans. I'd feel really good about their chances. But then against almost anybody else that's left, I would not feel like there's a carryover there.
Okay, but here's the thing. I'm shocked that you're saying that, because would you not feel like one of their major issues right now, which is their communication problems, would be behind them if they can get on the same page to stop Joe Burrow?
To some degree. He's like the more traditional drop back and not even do play action that much.
And they'd have their swag back if they did it. Their riz back if they shut down Joe Burrow.
Do you agree that football's a game of matchups?
Yes, and the matchup against Lamar Jackson historically has been quite good.
Okay, but it's a different matchup than Burrow. It's a different matchup against Josh Allen and Jackson are somewhat alike, and Mahomes is just an alien matchup for them in general.
I know, but if the argument against the Steelers defense being overrated right now is look at what they did against the premier offenses in the league. They got killed by them.
I mean,
them.
I thought
by
they Kansas had a pretty City, good game but... against the Bengals the first time around, defensively.
Yeah, even though
it didn't really lead to anything for them, because then they got pasted in three straight games.
The final
games.
Score of that game was what, 44-38? So we thought they played well, and they gave up 38 points.
Yeah, but their defense gave up 31, and some of it was garbage time.
Well, right, there was a pick six.
Well, you made that point, though. You made the point that they played very well for pretty much the entirety of that game defensively.
Exactly. So if I gave the Steelers credit for holding them to 31 points because there was that controversial pick six, if I'm giving them credit for holding them to 31, if they hold Burrow to like 21 or 17 in a game the Bengals have to win, then I am going to feel like their defense is back.
Do you think they'll do that?
Yes, I do. Why did I pause there? Because that made it seem like I wasn't convinced or I wasn't sold on it happening.
Since how much? What was
did
the point total?
21. So it sounds like I said it immediately, Dom.
They've held two teams under 21 points since the bye week: the Ravens in what is their tour de force defensive performance of the year, and the Browns in their revenge game against famous Jameis.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Commanders got 27 on them. The Browns, the first time, got 24. The Bengals got 38. The Eagles, 27. The Ravens, second time around, 34. The Chiefs, 29. It's not even just like that the trend has been bad these last 3 weeks. It's been bad for mainly the last 2 months. I guess the advantage for them is they beat the Commanders, giving up 27. They beat the Bengals, giving up 38. And so,
okay, so here's
there's not as much consternation.
Okay, I agree with you, but here's the exercise that I played with myself, not that way. But here's the exercise. Shut up, Dom.
I mean, care to rephrase here?
All right. Here's the exercise I did with that. So you have a very pessimistic and defeatist attitude about their defense. Okay? So start to pick it apart. Who are the bad players? Give me the culprits.
Queen.
So Queen's just a bad player. So
who are the actual bad football players?
Who are bad football players that are out there? Because if you're saying a guy's not living up...
I don't think James Pierre's any good.
He's not going to play in this game.
I don't think their corners that are not named Joey Porter have done enough to be considered.
Jackson's
like,
got five picks.
Is he definitely going to play, or is his back going to act up?
All right, I mean, you're kind of getting me on a technicality here. So if they have to go to next man up at one corner, so that's a weak spot, I would agree with you on that. But that's like that.
Do we feel like their defensive line has any? Benton's good. Hayward's good.
I would say Hayward's better than good.
Hayward's very good. I don't know, man.
Because
Queen's playing like a bad football player. That's the problem right now.
But I know that. And overall, as a defense,
I know the
argument
you're trying to get to. It's a defense full of good players that isn't playing good football right now. I know that is the argument you were trying to get to.
The sum is lesser than its parts.
Yes, but sometimes that doesn't correct itself.
Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it does. I mean, I hate to bring them up because they're going to catch a stray here, but sometimes with the Pirates, guys are just what they are. And you're 2 months into the season and a dude's hitting 230, and guess what? He's just a 230 hitter. He's just not a good hitter, right? That happens. We see it all the time with them. Football players are allowed to go in slumps too. And if you think that Patrick Queen is worse than he's playing, well, then there is at least the potential for him getting back there. You know, if you just think a guy stinks, well, that's a totally different conversation. And that's what I'm trying to get you to say here. Are there, when you pick back, when you peel back the layers on their defense, among their 11 starters, who are the guys that actually aren't good? Because in the last few years, whether it's been inside linebacker or corner, they've had guys that just weren't good football players.
I just think that's a very cold comfort you're reaching for here. Hey, it's a bad defense right now made of good football players. Great. Awesome. That might mean that they just continue to be a bad, frustrating, lesser, you know, sum is lesser than the whole. Or, wait, you know what I mean.
Yes, and there's a
chance. The whole is lesser than the sum of the parts
group. And there's a chance that that happens again tomorrow night because they are facing the hottest quarterback in the league right now and a wide receiver who's in line to win the Triple Crown. But I also think there's a chance that the defense with extra rest, and now that they got all this, you know, crap out of their system, that they bounce back and play a good game like they did against Burrow the first time they saw him this season.
I would argue that the chances are greater than 50-50 that it is my scenario that plays out here and not yours.
And Dom's scenario is option C, which is just rest everybody. You're going to lose the game anyways and just play guys like Justin Fields and Preston
Smith. What if you rested Wilson down like 14-3 at the half and Tomlin just said, I'm pulling the ripcord here, like we'll go to Baltimore, and then Fields came in and just cooked?
I said yesterday, if it was
Rob Johnson,
tied,
Doug Flutie situation.
If it was tied at halftime, I would still consider starting Justin Fields.
When you keep saying, I said this yesterday, where did you say this? Was this just among your friends in Shaler? Was this at, like, you were at a drive-thru and they asked you for your order and you just
did
went right into
Did you just
right
stand in the
take?
Middle of a town square and start giving takes like a town
where
crier
did this
would've?
Happen?
No, on the early morning show
okay,
yesterday.
Okay, so there was an audience for it. Did you get pushback then?
Yeah, I got callers.
Were they mad?
They weren't mad. They just complained about Mike Tomlin, really.
Yeah.
But yeah, most people have pushed back against it because I'm an outside thinker. You know?
That you are.
How about Kabali saying that basically Watt isn't healthy right now, but he wants to keep playing and the coaches don't have the balls to tell him that he needs
well, he
to
just
sit?
Said, yeah, he said Tomlin, there are some guys Tomlin can't tell what to do. I don't know. You're the head coach. You make almost $20 million a year.
Well, I agree.
If the guy isn't healthy, tell him he's not playing.
I know, but that's not the first time that's happened. I can think of a guy that's got a podcast right now from his basement who was the same way. I can think of a wide receiver who was setting NFL records who had the same situation too. So...
I wonder why TJ Watt wants to play. Is it because he wants to try to burnish a defensive player of the year case? Because that's a pretty dumb reason to want to play, I think, if you're really hurt and it's all about getting playoff wins, of which he has none.
What if it was just he doesn't think he's 100%, but he's also not so injured that he can't play and he just wants to gut it out and play because that's what
don't
NFL
you think,
players do?
Don't you think rest would make it him healthier and better for the playoff game that actually does matter?
Probably.
I don't care that just what NFL players do. That's not a good enough reason. Hey, coach, I just want to play. Saquon Barkley goes to Sirianni. Apropos of nothing, coach, I don't care about the record. I want to play because that's just what NFL players do.
Well, I think that's what most people do at their job. I mean, Kabali could have texted us and said, I'm under the weather, I'm not 100%, and just not come in today. People that are like...
Wait, you think most people are like, I'm going to gut it out when I'm sick? I think most people are like, no, I'm sick and I have sick days
I
get.
Okay, but I think Mark misspoke. I don't think that TJ Watt is so injured where if this were September, he would sit right now. I think it's kind of in that limbo state, that gray area... where we watch him and we know that he's not optimal TJ Watt, but he's also not someone that like is trying to pull a Willis Reed out there either. Like it's in that weird...
I just feel like if he is like 90%, then it's worth sitting him to try to get him to 100%.
No, you don't, because you said that you think that the Steelers need to win this game to get the matchup against Houston.
I mean, I don't really think they're going to win it either way, whether he plays or doesn't.
So
play.
Where was that take at the beginning of the show where
we
you could have just said, Dom, you know
health.
What? You're right. This game, they're not winning it either way, so why not just
live to fight another day? I save specific takes for specific situations. It's like play calls. I dial up what I need when I need it.
So at 2 o'clock, the take on the game was one thing, and 3 hours later, it's something completely different?
Again, time and place. Am I running like a jet motion, crackback running play like the Lions did early in the show? No, I deploy it right here. Catch you all off guard.
Here is one of Chris Muller's favorite listeners, Adrian in Pittsburgh. Hello, Adrian.
Yeah, Chris Muller and intern Dom is the reason why he's an intern. As the way he talks today.
I'm actually not an intern, Adrian, so try again.
Well, whatever. So,
Well, how does that explain Mueller? Because he's been here hosting afternoons for 10 years and I believe is now the longest running afternoon talk show host, 12 years in the entire country.
Yeah, he's worse than Crowley. He needs to retire.
Well, he's right here. You can say, you don't have to talk in the, you can talk to him and not just me about it.
Like,
you could just say, Chris, you need to retire. You suck, for example.
Chris, you're on here talking about they should have a terrible season to get a quarterback, correct?
I would love to see them get out of purgatory.
Yeah, that tells everybody that knows football that you don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Well, their current approach of not having won a playoff game in 7 seasons and possibly counting is working so well.
Your rebuttal, Adrian?
I got news for you, buddy. Mike Tomlin can have Dan Marino, Randy Moss, Antonio Brown, and George Pickens as his wide receivers. We're still not going to throw the ball. It's his philosophy on why they're losing.
Well, when he had Ben Roethlisberger, Martavis Bryant, and all those guys, and Antonio Brown, he did throw the ball. They threw it all the time.
And who was in charge, Mueller, since you know so much? His name was Todd Haley. When Mike Tomlin is in charge of the offense, they don't move the ball.
So you don't think Mike Tomlin flexed on Todd Haley when he wanted to as well?
Adrian, the guy that was actually in charge of that offense was Ben Roethlisberger,
right.
But I kind of get what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay. Then why didn't you say it the first time? You waited for Pony to help you out.
No, I don't need help.
Sounds like you
Bruce
might.
Bruce Arians, Ben Roethlisberger, Todd Haley.
Yeah.
When either one of those three guys were in charge of the offense and not named Mike Tomlin.
So you think if a prime Dan Marino walked through the door, Mike would say we're running the wing T?
Yes, it's his philosophy. You want to know why it's his philosophy? Because he never got credit for the Super Bowl. He wants to do it his way. Bruce Arians called all the plays. Vic LeBeau called the defense.
See, now we're getting somewhere. Now we're getting somewhere with you because I feel like about a month ago before this losing streak started, you were a pretty staunch Mike Tomlin supporter, Adrian, and I'm hearing now that you have...
Oh, anything but support.
Yes, exactly. Now I'm hearing that you feel like Tomlin is completely to blame for what's
happened
to this team.
You're psychoanalyzing him, and to your great surprise, Adrian, what you just brought up is something I have thought about many times with Mike, that there is a part of his ego that hates that he doesn't get the credit for a Super Bowl because it didn't happen his way.
That's what I'm trying to say to you. He's holding.
Well, you've been trying to say a lot of things, like retire.
Will you let me talk?
We are letting you talk. That was a good line that Chris just talked over. You feel like Mike Tomlin is holding the Steelers hostage, is what you just said, which is ironic because he says he wants volunteers and not hostages.
Exactly. He lives in his fears. When he has players out, he wants to shorten the game and run the ball more than ever. After he already runs, his game plan is to run the ball. Against Cleveland, he wants it. We're the big macho bad Steelers. We're going to beat them regardless. We're going to run the ball 40 to 50 times.
All right, so give Tomlin a grade on the season.
He went from, after the Cincinnati game, which I had him at an A+, right now he's at like a C-. And if he loses this game to Cincinnati, which is a absolutely must win, because you'd rather play the Houston Texans than the Baltimore Ravens.
But I thought Lamar sucked in the playoffs. Aren't you one of those people who believes that when playoff Lamar shows up, he'll just turn into a pumpkin?
You have said that before, Adrian.
Okay, Malzy, would you rather play the raggedy Texans or the raggedy Baltimore
Ravens? When the Baltimore Ravens get into the playoffs with raggedy Lamar Jackson, they turn into basically the Texans.
Okay, Mr. 9 straight three-pointers.
Well, that's just an ad hominem attack now.
And I liked
it. Basketball term. Let's put it in basketball terms. Would you rather do a layup or a free throw?
I was good at both. I would actually take the three-pointer.
Adrian, I think you could have beat him in a game on one-on-one. I don't even think it would have been close.
I would have destroyed him 12-0. I
you played to 11.
I believe it. Thank you, Adrian. Now he has gout, so he can't play anymore.
That's like Al Capone getting hit with tax evasion charges. Adrian done in by gout.
Dom, I hate to say this, but I see you as a man later in life that's going to suffer from gout.
Why, you think he has uric acid problems?
I just think diet related.
The hell does that supposed to mean?
Yeah, what does that mean?
You saying I have a bad diet?
Look at him, he's like a beanpole. If anything, the bad part of his diet
is that
he doesn't eat enough.
Hold on a second, we know a lot of people that are skinny but just have bad diet. They have good metabolisms, things like that.
Who?
Craig Riley. He eats a cheese and pepperoni sandwich every day.
Yeah, he doesn't do that. His usual move, although it's not happening today, is one of those big frosted honey buns.
Yeah.
He eats with a fork and knife like he's Robin Leach on Lifestyles
of the
Rich and
Famous.
Texas
on the Intersteiner Associates fan text line. Guess what's next? Open phone Friday. We've got a few open lines right now. Fill them up. Anything you want to talk about, 412-928-9370. This is literally your segment where you get to pick, not from a list of things, but you get to set the agenda by calling in and giving your two cents on whatever you want. 412-928-9370 right now, an intern Dom headline. 517. On a Friday, that means it's open phone Friday time. It's brought to you by Gina G and Petro of RE/MAX Select Realty. 412-928-9370. We'll take them as they come. You've got 15 minutes. That's when Patrick Peterson, the future Hall of Fame corner and former Steeler, will join us to talk about Steelers and Bengals. We're live right now with you. Let's start with our number two fan, Jeff in South Park. Happy New Year, Jeff.
Happy New Year. Happy belated birthday to Pony.
Jeff, I'm sorry that I never made it to your kid's birthday, by the way. I do feel pains of guilt over that.
You still think about that?
I do, actually, yes, because I still have the invitation with the baby Yoda in my work briefcase.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe next year. There's always next year. I remember telling you guys at the time that we were down to a Paw Patrol theme or a Star Wars baby Yoda theme, and I was trying to talk my wife into the Paw Patrol theme because he was still only four.
Yep.
And it's like as he gets older, he's not going to want we can't do a Paw Patrol theme as he gets older.
But you can do Star Wars for the next 50 years of his life, really, if he wants
to. Exactly, yeah. And, I mean, he's more hardcore than ever right now. There was this new show called Skeleton Crew. There's this new series called Skeleton Crew that is geared towards kids, but it's not a cartoon.
Ballsy, you know, they say golf is the game of life. You can play it your entire life. We're really learning that Star Wars is basically like the science fiction version of that.
That is true. My brother, right when he was his then fiance and obviously now wife, knitted him or sewed him like a Jedi robe to wear to one of the original three movies, episodes 1, 2, or 3. I thought that's a real sign of love.
A text has come in here from Johnny the Barber. This is for Jeff in South Park. Jeff, your Steelers suck, and Ohio State is winning the national championship. Suck on that.
You know what? It's funny that Johnny the Barber texted in because I was going to bring this up for Open Phone Friday, switching gears a little bit. By the way, Adrian is just a barrel of laughs, isn't he? That guy's something else.
I loved Adrian's call. We took a real journey, the three of us, on that call.
Yes, you did. But we'll switch gears for a second and talk about college football, I guess. If the national championship game is Ohio State versus Penn State, Mulvey, under any circumstances, do you root for Penn State?
I think I'm rooting for Ohio State. I think I'm riding with the barber there.
My God.
I'm riding with the barber. I'm sending Johnny texts. I'm doing shots of whiskey when Ohio State scores, which would be often. Yes, I'm absolutely going with the truly ultimate heel turn there.
Oh, my God.
But it's not going to be that because I think Notre Dame's going to beat Penn State.
You actually have something in common with my dad. I don't think I've ever told you this before. My dad is also like you. He went to Penn State, and he hates them.
Man of culture.
You are not alone. You are not alone.
Man of culture.
That's why I totally buy everything that you say, because my father's the same way. But I cannot, in good conscience, root for Ohio State under any circumstances, the least of which being that Johnny the Barber would be insufferable.
Well, thank you, Jeff. There's already some smack talk that has gone on here. Texas Keith texting in regarding Ohio State. He said, man, what a horrible month of January it's going to be for Johnny the Barber. Number one, the best he can do is give his customers bowl cuts. And number two, he's going to have to endure a beatdown at the hands of former Ohio State quarterback Quinn Ewers. Now, Johnny
Barber
likes to give Joe Burrow credit for being an Ohio State guy. Does he do the same thing with Quinn Ewers?
If Ewers wins, that'll be his fallback.
So does he say,
it took an Ohio State man to beat an Ohio State team.
Exactly.
We actually feel so bad for the rest of college football, we outsource our quarterbacks to other teams. We sell them off so that those teams will have a puncher's chance. Johnny the Barber versus Texas Keith in like a shouting match or like a smack-talking match, I'd pay to see that one. And you know what? Edge Barber, I think.
More Texas Keith smack talk. Our biggest fan is Matthew McConaughey, one of the great actors of all time. Their biggest fan is some fat bald guy who paints himself red and silver. Good comeback?
Mm. It's okay. Isn't the red and silver fat guy like a way more authentic college football fan than big Hollywood Matthew McConaughey?
I don't know, man.
I thought people in Texas didn't like Hollywood.
I think Austin's kind of
It's like keep Texas Austin weird. Hollywood. Yes, it's keep Austin weird. That's the whole slogan down there.
Is it? I didn't know that.
Yeah, but now it's all tech bros now. It's like the new Silicon Valley.
Brian and Cranberry's next. Hello, Brian.
Hey guys, enjoying the show.
Thank you.
Got a question.
You don't really sound like it. Heavy sigh. Hey guys, I'm enjoying the show.
I'm in traffic.
Fair enough. Anyhow, what do you got?
Regarding Tomlin.
Yep.
Everybody, like in the national media, says that Pittsburgh fans are crazy thinking about getting rid of him. He'd get a job the very next day. He's one of the best coaches in the league. And then they turn around, and where do they have the Steelers ranked at the beginning of each season in the last 3 years?
Correct.
Third, fourth.
Yep.
If he's such a damn good coach, why is it then they're not putting him in first or second? And definitely
it's never
spot.
It's a very funny thing you bring up, because that is always the duality of Mike. He is a great coach who has zero agency whatsoever in constructing the roster of the team that they always pick to finish third or fourth.
Yeah, I if he's such a great coach, even if it's a roster that's third or fourth, you'd think they'd be at least second in the division.
Pony, do you sense that the narrative is starting to change even slowly about that stuff? Like Kyle Brandt will occasionally pop off and say this guy's not always cracked up to be right now.
Maybe a little bit, but even this year, and thanks Brian, I mean, it was Mike Tomlin is right up there as coach of the year, and it hasn't shifted to Mike Tomlin's doing a bad job. We just don't hear him talked about as a coach of the year candidate. I think the wisdom on this, the prevailing wisdom is without a quarterback, you don't have a chance. And the national media doesn't think Russell Wilson's any good. So they almost feel sorry for Mike Tomlin that he saddled with him. He was saddled with Pickett. He was saddled with
late-stage
Ben.
He has a big hand in. He's not saddled with guys when he picks the guys or helps pick the guys.
Adam is in Robinson. Hello, Adam. You're on Open Phone Friday.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to say, if Chase Brown and T. Higgins don't play and we win, I think it gives us a lot of confidence, and I think we should take round one pretty easily if it's Houston. But if they don't play and we lose, we don't deserve a first round win at all.
Thank you, Adam. I think that there's a sense in Cincinnati that Higgins might be sitting this game out because he's thinking about his next contract and he doesn't want to risk it. And I'd love to know how that's going over there.
Jermaine Burton, who's not much of a receiver for them, I think he's got 4 catches this year. Big kind of problem child from Alabama that they took a risk on. He is not traveling with the team either. And if Higgins were to sit out, Burton would have some expanded role. Coach's decision, Pony. So yeah. It appears that a guy who had major red flags,
kind of like a Deontay Johnson scenario.
Whoops.
Here is Joe in Orlando. Hello, Joe.
What's going on, fellas? How you doing?
Good to talk to you again, Joe. Hope all is well. Happy New Year to you, man.
Happy New Year to both of you. Heading down to see the Pens as we speak.
Oh, nice. How long does that take you to go Orlando down to Sunrise?
It's 3 hours and 56 minutes.
Okay.
A lot of that's got to be traffic sitting on 95, no?
Actually, it's not that bad. It's
cool.
Not that bad right now, which I thought with the holiday could go either way.
Yeah,
so
man.
So far, we lucked out.
What do you got for us, Joe? Listen,
all right, so you know I usually mistreat you guys, so I got a little bit of constructive criticism.
Sure.
So you guys, and I know you know what your ratings are and topics and so forth, but I find it ironic. You guys, and we listen every day. We dig the show. I'm not going to say I hate it.
Thank you, Joe.
But listen, you got to be a little bit more agile to cover different topics and not talk about the Steelers for 4 straight hours.
Well, this is the joy of Open Phone Friday. You want to give us Penguins talk? You want to give us college football? You want to give us something completely off the board? By all means, man.
Well, no, I just want to hear like Doug Hirth used to do an hour press conference like you guys do, the hodgepodge of nothingness. I don't know if you remember Doug Hirth. You might be too young.
I am too young. I know the name.
Yeah, he was, I mean, he's a legend. The guy was a great radio guy.
So he did an hour hodgepodge.
Like, Yeah, I know. And so I was going to be really rude and say, what's the difference between your regular show and a hodgepodge of nothingness? But since you guys greeted me so well, I can't do that. But I'm just saying.
You kind of just did it anyways, Joe, but
yeah,
that's okay.
Yeah, you snuck that in there, but that's all right, Joe. We like it.
All right. So listen, you got Pitt basketball, which they look great.
Well, what's the big one you want to burn on here? I want give us a big opinion about a subject other than the Steelers.
Give us the sport that we're missing the most here.
Probably Pitt basketball. The other thing is Pitt football and the way that they urinated the bed down the stretch.
Yes, they did.
Why Pitt can't be more competitive during the bowl season. That's a great topic right now. But the other thing is this. It doesn't take 4 hours to tell you this. The Steelers defense, no matter who they beat, they're just not very good. You could get lucky on any day, right? But what the Chiefs did to them was embarrassing. So you just know they're not very good.
Joe, how about the Penguins? Are they any good?
The Pens are what they are. Yes, they're a 500 team, and I think they probably will end up making the playoffs. I think Tristan Jarry is going to surprise a lot of people. And the other thing is this, Mike Sullivan's a good coach. Everybody wants to say all of a sudden he's not very good. You don't win two cups back-to-back, and you're not very good.
All right, Joe. Thank you, man. Appreciate it. Enjoy the game. Show Ombudsman, Joe in Orlando. We should have Joe on like once a month to like take stock and say, well, they covered this too much. They did not hit on this enough. More of this, less of that. Things of that nature.
I kind of like the little bit about the hodgepodge and nothing.
Like, come back in early February and say, I listened all of January. Should have done more of this. Should have done less of that. 2 minutes away from Patrick Peterson. We are not going to ask Patrick Peterson about Pitt urinating down its leg in the Game Above Sports Bowl. We're going to ask him about the communication issues on defense, and he'll put his finger on what's going on there. Right now, an Intern Dom headline. Another half hour to go before Jason Mackey, I believe, follows us. Jason Mackey, I think, did a movie draft with Austin yesterday, filling in for the midday guys. I didn't see if Rudy got picked or not. Whoever picked Rudy lost. It's like the
somebody
old maid.
Somebody picked it.
Dom, do some research on that.
One of those two did. I think it was Bechtold.
Bechtold automatic L then. I don't even need to know Jason's roster of picks.
It's cool. Just, here's my problem with the movie Rudy.
Rudy was not picked.
Okay, good job by both of them. Sorry, Austin, I didn't mean to slander you. I'll probably get a text from you anyway saying that you didn't pick it.
You don't really have to get into great detail. We know about Rudy. It's just stinks.
Well, no, I'm just going to say one sentence. I'm going to say one sentence. The entire movie falls apart when you realize you're supposed to like Rudy and want to cheer for him, but you have any awareness of the fact that he was a scumbag in real life. Essentially like a crook and a con man.
Well, didn't Montana say that no one actually went into the coach's office and
yeah, they all didn't really like him.
Handed in their, no one wanted to hand in their jersey and not play.
No. Which coach was it back then? Devine?
I believe so.
Dan Devine. Yeah, I mean, most of these movies, you want to root for the protagonist. If you've ever read anything about Rudy's life post Notre Dame, he's not a guy you want to be rooting for.
Who are you going to be rooting for on Thursday?
Notre Dame. Touchdown Jesus. Freeman is like an easy guy to like. He's like a straight shooter. I realized I tend to root against coaches more than teams. Because Alabama minus Saban, they're just another team to me. Smart is being is good enough right now at Georgia and kind of getting arrogant enough that I'm starting to not like
so,
them. But like I genuinely root with very few exceptions against the coach more than I do the team.
So that's interesting because I was out for dinner last night with my in-laws and my father-in-law was asked by my brother-in-law, why do Pitt fans hate Notre Dame so much? And we actually had some difficulty pinning down the exact reason why that is.
I can tell you why I always wanted them to lose was because like I felt like they got undue attention relative to how good their program was.
I think that that's recently why I get sick of Notre Dame. My father-in-law's theory was that he thinks Pitt fans hate the fact that when Notre Dame comes here, the stadium is full. And Notre Dame kind of takes it over, and it's like people are coming to a Pitt game to see Notre Dame and not
Pitt. There's an inferiority complex in play.
Yes.
Maybe. I mean, I also just think, like, I do, like, Lou Holtz, I don't know. he never struck me as all that likable. Brian Kelly for a while, not likable. It always bothered me. Like, Pitt played, what year was it? K1 Williams got called for that phantom pass interference that would have ended the game. Yep. Notre Dame was like number two in the country,
that was
or
like
whatever.
13 years ago now?
Yeah, it was like 2012, 2013. That stuff annoys me.
How about when Bob Davey was the coach there? He's from here.
Moon Township. Didn't hate them because Bob Davey, unfortunately for him, did not really have a ton of success. Here's another example, classic. I realized I root against coaches, not so much programs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really care one way or another about Ryan Day. Like, I think it's kind of funny that he's perpetually under fire. They are not nearly as loathsome as they were when Urban Meyer was there. Urban Meyer, one of the biggest pieces of garbage to grace a sideline in the last 10 years or so. Rooted against him, not them.
Joined on the fan hotline right now by my co-host, a first in pod, and a future Hall of Famer and former Steeler, Patrick Peterson. Pat, Chris Muller was just talking about how much he hates Brian Kelly. You're an LSU guy. Do you share that opinion?
No, I don't dislike Brian Kelly.
Did you like the social media videos he did when he got hired down there?
Or he started speaking
with a southern accent that he completely faked his way through?
Yeah, I thought that was a little bizarre. But, you know, I don't spend enough time around Coach Kelly, but the time I have spent around him, he seemed like a genuine guy.
Well, he's got to win you over. He's got to butter you up. He'd be an idiot not to treat you like gold.
I guess that's the plan.
Who was the toughest coach you had at LSU? It didn't have to be head coach. It could have been like position coach. When you were in college, before you became the Patrick Peterson, who was the guy who was just on your ass 24/7?
He really wasn't on my behind. He was more like a strict coach. His name was Tommy Moffitt.
Interesting.
What was he like? Was he like the strength guy? What was his position? Was he your position coach? What was he?
Yeah, he was a strength guy. So he was a strength guy. He's not there anymore, but he started at University of Miami, and he was at LSU the entire time I was there. I think he was there for like 20 years, but he was a guy that did not take any crap from no one. He let everybody have it, and I wasn't the only one scared of him. Everybody in the building was scared of Coach Moffitt. Yeah, I remember he used to always have this Lou Holtz baseball bat in his office. And he told Stephen Ridley this one time. He was out running
back. Former Steeler Stephen Ridley.
Yeah, he was like, "You think you bad? Go get your daddy. I got this Larry Pujols bat here waiting on his ass."
Wow.
So he was just one of those type of guys. But he loved very hard, man. He didn't mean any of it, but he got his point across.
Joined by Patrick Peterson. He is brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day, be delicious. Pat's cousin, Bryant McFadden, joined us earlier. And while talking about the Steelers game against the Bengals, he detailed how he met his wife and said she sought him out. And he said he fell for it, Pat, because he's a guy that likes a nice smile and a big butt.
That sounds about right to be Matt.
I thought he was going to say, like, "I'm a sucker for a nice smile" or something, and he just said, "I'm a sucker for a nice smile and a big butt," and he did not have one ounce of, like, you just heard me say something and said my behind. He just said, he threw big butts out there. He was ready to go.
No doubt about it. I don't blame him. I like a nice smile and a big butt, too.
Pat, this came up because one of our producers sent out a picture of himself on New Year's with just his new girlfriend, who's just an absolute 10 out of 10. And we were marveling that a man who is not, you know, no one's thinking
he's not
George
Fabio
Clooney
or Matthew McConaughey, you know, handsome guy.
And so we were like, you know,
way,
I think funny guys can sometimes get hot chicks. And so we asked BMAC about the genesis of his relationship. And so I don't think I've ever asked you doing a podcast with you. How did you and your wife meet?
We met at on campus. Me and my wife been together since college. And crazy thing about it, I saw my wife on my recruiting trip when I was getting recruited by LSU. And I said, "Man, if I ever come back here, man, I'm going to find her." And it took me about a year and a half to find her, but I met her at a bar. Yeah,
wow.
Met her at a bar at on campus. And
now, did you slow play it, or did you go right up to her and say, "Hey, I've been looking for you for about 18 months now"?
That would make you sound a little creepy.
Hey, Pony, I'm gonna tell you something. What was crazy about that too? Because I saw her in the bar, right?
Yep.
And I was kind of like slow playing it, but then she ended up leaving. But lucky enough, one of my teammates was friends with her friends.
Let's go.
And that's how I ended up getting the number. And once I got the number, it was on. It was pretty much over from there. Yeah,
there you go. Pat, talking some football. So the big story here since the Chiefs game defensively has been the communication issues. And Minka came out and detailed some of them. I'll actually play you a clip here to start. This is him saying that teams are scheming a certain way against the Steelers, and that's why they're getting beat.
I think teams are scheming us. They're knowing that we're having some issues with motions and stacks and bunches and stuff like that. Because if you look at the stuff that we've been beat on, or when guys are running open, it's stuff that, you know, each team kind of got from the last team. So, you know, we've made a real big emphasis this week on those style of plays, and even plays that can stem off from it, and working on communication, everybody being on the same page, and playing fastball.
So that's a super detailed answer that you usually don't get guys telling the media, taking them behind the scenes and curtain. Motions, streaks, bunches, things like that are beating this defense. Why do you think that is?
Man, you know, that's what a lot of offensive coordinators want to do to high-pressure defenses and defenses that pretty much have a standard. They want to try to create as much confusion as possible. You know, that's why, when Kyle Shanahan and he had all of his weapons in his offense, that's why it was pretty much tough to scheme against them, because it was always eye candy, always motions and things like that. And when you do have those type of tendencies on the offense, on the defensive side of the ball, you have to be extremely dialed in, because your assignment can change within a second. You know what I mean? Then if you don't communicate that with your counterpart, that can break down the whole defense. And that's all you need, especially when you run a high caliber and a high detailed defense. Everybody has to be on the same page. And if one guy is not on that page, it can break down the whole defense. Because, you know, if you look at the Steelers defense, they have so many moving parts, you know, on the field at one time. I mean, so many moving parts in their defense, especially when they want to get exotic on third downs. As Minka said, that's where a lot of the blown coverages have come in third downs, because that is when T.A. Terrell Austin want to get a little bit exotic, put more DBs out on the field, and that's where communication has to be at an all-time high. So, you know, I agree with Minka, you know, because I was in that defense last year, so I've seen some of the coverages that they was in. And like I said, it just comes down to everybody being on the same page, everybody communicating their responsibility, so therefore the defense can be ran properly.
Patrick, is there schematically, you talk about how, you know, important communication is, I get that. For a defense, is there a schematic counterpunch to motion and to bunches, like something scheme-wise that isn't just, hey, we got to communicate better, that you can do that solves that, or that gives the offense a specific problem when they try to bunch or go motion?
No, I think as a defense, that's when you have to dummy it down a little bit. You can't send as much pressure as you're accustomed of doing, because when you send pressure, there's holes that's waiting to be invited and to go into in a pressure defense, especially if everything gets blocked up, and especially if everybody is not on the same page on the defensive side of the ball. We all know Pittsburgh is a fire zone defense, which is 9 times out of 10 a backer or a safety is going to be blitzing. So therefore, the guy who's responsible for picking up, you know, that coverage, he has to make sure that his responsibility is on point. You know, so that's what I mean by with Pittsburgh running this, you know, high IQ defense, to where everybody have to be on the same page and they running these fire zones. It's very, very complicated. So I get what Minka is saying as far as the communication, but when you plan against these teams that do like to do all these shifts of motion, I feel like you have to dummy down your play calling ability to try to get the team behind the sticks versus trying to fight this offense when the whole playbook is wide open, when they have second and five, second and six, third and three. You want to try to get this team behind, you know, the sticks. And that's always been Pittsburgh, you know, MO, is try to get teams behind the sticks on first down, and then you can let your dogs hunt.
Pat, where, like, in a big situation, where's the play call coming from? Is it Austin, or do you think if it's like a critical third down or a big juncture in the game, is it Tomlin telling Terrell, telling T.A., hey, this is what I want you to do in this spot?
When I was there last year, Coach Austin definitely called all the plays. And, you know, with Coach Tomlin being a defensive-minded coach and really having a hand in, you know, in the defensive schemes and understanding what offenses wants to do, he definitely had his input. I was never on the sideline to see, you know, the interactions. I was always on the football field. So, for the most part, you know, when we came to the sideline and things like that, Coach Tomlin would give, like, his input, telling guys what to watch out for. I'm sure, you know, they congregate over some things before, especially in a big-time moment in the game. I'm sure Coach Tomlin won't go over to Coach T.A., tell him to watch out for this, and maybe a good time to call that. You know, so, but for the most part, when I was there, Coach Austin definitely had full control of the defense.
Interesting. All right, Pat, I'll let you get back to your Friday night festivities. We'll talk again after the game Sunday night. Thank you.
All right, Pony. See you Sunday, brother.
There you go. Patrick Peterson. That was a juicy little answer there from Pat.
What do you make of it?
T.A. definitely had full control over the defense when I was there last year.
I mean, we just hear the opposite from almost everybody else around the team, particularly people covering the team.
I think it's possible that on game day, Austin does call the plays, but he's calling plays that he either thinks Tomlin wants or he knows Tomlin wants, if that makes sense.
Then why doesn't Mike just call the plays?
I know.
Actually, why doesn't Mike do the thing I would really like him to do and hire a really good defensive coordinator and say, I've called the defense for a while here, or de facto called it, you get to do it now. Ah, wait, that guy was already in the building. His name was Brian Flores.
We had Keith Butler tell us that he never really got to call the plays. He said that into an open, microphone.
Same Keith Butler who they kept blocking from other jobs, apparently, because he was the defensive coordinator in waiting.
And he expressed, like, I thought some regret over that whole thing. Like, I think he said something along the lines of with us, I wished it could have gone a different way, but them's are the breaks, basically. So, can we get a little pick music here, Austin? Can we get a little primetime music for us? We got to pick this game. So Donnie has already picked Bengals. He gave an exact score on the midday show today. Do we have that?
34-30.
Bengals cover 2.5 is what I'm seeing. Is that what you've got, Chris?
Let me check our favorite site that we always use as a standard bearer for this.
Brassers. Just kidding.
P-O. Anyway, +2 is what I'm seeing live right
yes,
now.
Yes, I'm seeing 2 as well.
-2 for the Bengals, I'm sorry.
By the way, Patrick Peterson was brought to you by Hellman's Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. Who's going first?
You need to go first here. That's how that's how it shakes out on my little screen of fun.
I don't think I'll need the points, but I will take them. Steelers +2. I think this game goes over 48. That is a high total. It's going to be cold, but I don't think the weather is actually going to affect the game very much. So I think this will be a game that is played into the mid-20s, high 20s. I'm going to take the Steelers to win this game. Steelers get to 28. No, there's got to be a Boswell field goal in there somewhere. There's got to be multiple Boswell field goals in there. What am I talking about? I'm going to go Steelers getting to 30 points, and the Bengals will finish with 21. Steelers 30, Bengals 21. And you hold the Bengals to 21, that's a pretty good defensive performance. And against the Bengals defense, 30 is about what you normally get.
All right. Muzzy? I'm going to go with the Bengals here.
Boo.
I have the guts. I don't care. Boo me all you want.
Boo.
Yeah, bring it. Come on.
Boo.
Quarterback's playing way better than this quarterback is. Their defense stinks. I do have a little trepidation only in the fact that Chase Brown's so dinged up. He actually was pretty effective. He had the one big run, but I mean, he got 70 yards in that first game, in the one touchdown, the 40-yarder.
Herbert is not like some chump backup, but Chase Brown was a really big asset for them. T. Higgins' health has me concerned, but they still have Yoshivas. They have Gesicki, who's basically a de facto wide receiver. And most importantly, they have the dude playing quarterback who has been almost unstoppable for a while now. And I don't think the Steelers are going to stop him. I think the disarray is going to continue. They don't really run a bunch of like play action or stuff or screens that helps the quarterback. Burrow just drops back and kicks ass. And if gets protected, he's going to pick them apart. They like to run zones. Burrow sees right through that stuff. Amarius Mims is banged up for them, but assuming their line can hold up reasonably well, Burrow, there's just too much Burrow. I got a fever, and the prescription is find a way to stop Joe Burrow. They won't. Give me Cincinnati 31, Steelers 24.
Bonus pick from intern Dom.
Yeah, assuming Russell Wilson starts in the second half. I still think the Bengals are going to win. I'll take Cincinnati 30-20. I hate to make this all about the quarterback, but Cincinnati has the best
Malsy
one.
Just did.
That's true. Cincinnati has the best one in football. Joe Burrow's first in yards, first in touchdowns, top three in QBR. Bengals have won four straight, and they just beat Denver in what was essentially a playoff game for them, and I think they'll do it again tomorrow.
Just make sure I hear you right. You'd rather have Joe Burrow than Patrick Mahomes?
Yes. I've said that for 3 years now.
You'd rather have Burrow than Allen?
Yes. Oh, yes.
You made a sound of disgust when that comparison
was
broached.
No, he made a sound of like, oh yes.
Like, no, I made a sound like
Allen. No.
It wasn't pipi, it was, yeah.
Okay.
Pipi?
All right. Those are our picks for Steelers, Bengals. 50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram and Peters. It's time for a hodgepodge.
This is a hodgepodge of nothingness.
All right, I'm pretty interested in going home and watching the Penguins at the Panthers. Penguins have a pulse. Panthers won the cup last year, so it's a measuring stick game. Panthers have not played well lately. They're on a 5-game homestand, and they've lost 3 of those games so far. So I think there's a shot. Jari in net. We'll see where it goes. I did like this tweet from Josh Yoey on tonight's game. Owen Pickering, Penguins rookie, has played pretty well in his debut season. He's living with Penguins bottom six forward Cody Glass.
Mm-hmm.
Pickering on living with Glass. We've been watching lots of Christopher Nolan movies, so I've been really confused for 2 hours.
See, that's a lie because no Christopher Nolan movie is only 2 hours, first off.
What's Christopher Nolan's most popular film?
Most popular? Highest
or most
grossing,
well-known?
Dark Knight, probably.
Okay. That wasn't really that complicated.
Complicated? No. Inception is his other huge one, and that is fairly complicated.
Oh, he did Oppenheimer, the internet is telling me.
Yeah.
That was way too long.
Batman Begins, Dark Knight. He did the whole Dark Knight trilogy. Oppenheimer.
So overall, do we think Christopher Nolan does a good job?
Yeah, I think we do.
Do you like him, Dom?
Didn't he do Dune? And Dune 2, Electric Boogaloo?
You think if I just posted who did Dune or searched who did Dune, it would tell me?
Yeah, I thought he did Dune. Maybe it was Tenet that he did. He'd do Tenet as well? No, Tenet might have been somebody else. T-E-N-E-T.
Dune.
Speaking of movies...
No, was not produced by him.
Okay. Speaking of movies, directed is what I was more thinking of.
Directed by Denis Villeneuve.
I think it's Denny.
Oh. Denny Villeneuve.
Denny, I think. Maybe not.
Nolan did do Tenet, by
okay,
the way.
Okay, Tenet. I got them confused. Speaking of movies, Pony, do you remember how old you were when you had your first, like, lasting memory that you can still remember to this day? Like, something that sticks... I know you were,
like, 4 years old.
Okay, good. Ace, who's 2.5, very into Toy Story 3 right now.
Yeah, that's a screwed up one, you told me.
And I just... I'm really nervous that he's going to remember the stuff. There's a scene in that movie...
Where they all think they're going to die. Yeah. Giving it away. I know, spoiler alert, why are we doing this right now? But it's been out long enough where we can do
it. I think I'm done.
What do you mean?
You're just all over me here.
All over what?
You're filling in the blanks too much.
Well, you've told that story multiple times about how sad the ending is, so I remember you saying it.
There's just a very grim one and then a very sad one. I just hope... Yeah, maybe I did. I thought you weren't here when I brought it up. I thought that was a solo Malzi expedition. Then forget about it.
There's a theory that Toy Story 3 is based off of events from World War II. It's like a famous theory out there.
What?
Yeah, I haven't heard that one.
Hey, you've never seen it?
Wait, so your fear is that he's watching this and he seems to be unnerved by it?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, but I think it's because he doesn't understand what he's watching. Yeah. At least I would hope not. And then I hope he doesn't. Hope when he gets old enough, he doesn't like watch it and go,
I mean,
oh,
my God,
crap.
It's not like they put like a PG-13 or R rating on the movie because of that.
I think they probably should have bumped it up to PG for the incinerator scene. I mean, my God, there's a whole scene where they just hold hands, resigned to their own demise.
Well, hold on a second. Maybe they did. Let's look.
No,
up.
It's G rated. I already looked.
Can movies still be rated NR-17?
NC-17.
Or NC-17? Or is that
NC-17'd?
And that's like a big money loser for them because so many parents.
I think you're just not allowed to bring your kid, period. If you like are a parent who's like, no, my kid's going to have an upbringing where they are exposed to all elements of culture, you're not even legally allowed, I thought.
Movies that are NR-17.
NC-17.
NC-17. Sorry.
Wasn't Titanic ranked
You're
NC-17?
Right, Malzi. Showgirls. Good call.
Wasn't Titanic ranked NC-17,
no,
he says?
Here,
what do you mean, no? Kate Winslet is naked in the movie. Of course
yes,
it would be.
But it's not in a graphic sex scene. It's in a nude, like, it's what they would call artistic nudity. She is being painted nude.
Requiem for a Dream, NC-17.
Wasn't there a director's cut maybe that was NC-17? I thought that came out as an R-rated movie.
Clerks, NC-17.
Again, I think there's R-rated versions of all of these. That were theatrically released.
Yeah.
Clerks is what made Kevin Smith's career, by the way. Maybe Mallrats. Speaking of, you want to watch a sad movie? Kevin Smith, Chasing Amy.
Never got into any of those Kevin Smith movies.
He was like a persona non grata growing up, going to Catholic school, even though he's like a practicing Catholic because of Dogma. Shot around here, by the way. Pittsburgh International Airport, the Franklin Inn Franklin Park.
Isn't he also a big Ravens fan?
Kevin Smith?
No.
I mean, he's only famously been photographed wearing a big oversized Edmonton Oilers jersey.
I thought he was from
New Jersey.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, Asbury Park or something?
With somebody else. Red Bank. I went to college with a guy from Red Bank. He was kind of a tool.
I mean, New Jersey. I don't know if Aditi's listening. She'll be mad about that.
Oh, she'll definitely find a way to throw that back in our face. All right. We're done for the week. Back on Monday. We will talk about who the Steelers are gearing up for in the playoffs. Maybe we'll have a Mike Tomlin press conference to react to. Jason Mackey next, I believe.
Yes.
He's leering out there. He's peering in. We'll talk to you Monday at 2 p.m. Team signing off.